Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. This is our Wednesday evening Under the Radar podcast. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org.
Yes.
Hello.
Hey, and that's it, right? Oh, David, you're here with us as well.
Hey, can you move me?
No.
Can you switch me with Rocco? Well, I don't like it
I
here.
I can try to shake the screen a little. I don't know.
Well, no. Just I don't like being up here.
We'll try to work on that. I could try to boot you. I could boot you off the podcast entirely. Would that help?
No, then I wouldn't be on the show, and that would ruin it.
This is our Under the Radar podcast. We're recording it just for point of cloud here, about 10:15 on Wednesday, Eastern on Wednesday, February 10th. So we have a few games under the radar that are going on tonight as we record this. Actually, most of them going final, just a couple left that are still going.
Yeah.
David, why don't we start by you telling everybody what it means to be under the radar?
The short answer is that it is the 22 regular one-bid leagues. There's no rule that says these conferences can't get more than one, but in a typical year, they're only getting one. What it is not is the Power Five conferences, which is the Big Ten, Big 12, ACC, SEC, and Pac-12. Did I say that one twice? No,
probably.
I didn't.
Okay,
probably. But it's not the Power Five, nor is it the other five regular multi-bid leagues, which is the Atlantic 10, the Mountain West, albeit not maybe not this year, the Big East, the West Coast, and the American. I got them all.
Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah, it's the other 22 leagues. The other disqualifier is if a team from one of those 22 leagues is ranked in the top 25, which Loyola Chicago is, they are not under the radar. You are on the radar if you are in the top 25. I think we all agree to that.
Right. So we'll get to the Missouri Valley Conference in a little while here tonight. We're not going to be talking about Loyola. We can, though, talk about Drake, who was briefly on the radar in the top 25, now backed out off of it.
Yeah. After they dropped off. So do we congratulate them?
Congratulations for coming back under the radar, Drake. Good job losing that game.
Yeah, like when we do our top 10, they are re-entering the top 10 because they were not in it last week.
If they got votes for the top 10, they might not.
Presumably they did.
Also, of course, the Ivy League not playing this year, so we're really only discussing 21 conferences. But what I like to do is start every week with a feature conference that I like to surprise you guys with, just for the fun of it. And this is a conference that, while I have not actually gone back and watched all our old podcasts, I know that we don't get to every conference every year as our feature conference. I can pretty much guarantee you we have hit this conference at least once every year. And I think this was a really good week to hit this conference when we look at the standings because things are so bottled up.
I know exactly where you're going.
Conference here in Hoops HD. We are going Northeast Conference today as our feature conference. The great Northeast Conference, the league, the only league I believe that has never gotten a team out of the round of 64 in the NCAA tournament, but we don't care.
Right. Chad, I almost texted you today saying you better make this your feature conference. Now, it is a little bit of an unusual year. Normally, in a normal year, you don't have teams playing 2 and 3 and 5 more conference games than any other team at a given point. But still, look at this. You notice Bryant in first place with 4 losses, and 7th place Wagner also with 4 losses. The first and 7th place teams are tied in the loss column. And about after at this point in the year, in the second week of February, that is unbelievable.
Yeah. And Rocco, even more so this year, there are only 4 teams making it to the Northeast Conference tournament with COVID this year. They go with a smaller tournament format. Mary Mack, who is back in their usual place, tied for the lead, is not eligible. So if the tournament was right now, I guess it would be Bryant, Fairleigh Dickinson, Mount St. Mary's, I think, would be there. I don't know what the tiebreakers would be between LIU, Sacred Heart, and Wagner at this point, even.
Yeah, many leagues at this point are going to go off win percentage. I haven't heard of a league announced that they won't do win percentage, but I can't confirm on the NEC. I think that's why you're seeing such mixed results. Like Fairleigh Dickinson was 2 and 4, played the 2 best teams supposedly in the league, and beat them both in sweeps. That would be Bryant and LIU, and now all of a sudden they're tied for first. So what you're seeing is FDU, they have a pretty good team too. They were just underperforming. It's good to see them putting it together, by the way. But what you're seeing is just these huge efforts from the teams that are, you know, maybe a win or two away, and it's just creating some amazing games. Even without that, we probably would get amazing games anyway, but it's just an extra element for us.
Right. And you look at St. Francis Brooklyn a week and a half ago, they were up there, I think, in second place.
Right.
You fall apart. Yeah, I mean, awful. They got swept at home by Wagner. They also got swept in the Battle of Brooklyn series with Long Island. Suddenly they're sitting there 4-6 and not quite out of it. Not as bad as Central Connecticut SFPA, but they've got no margin for error left here with the six losses now, with what you see going on.
Correct. Yeah, I thought LIU came ready after they got upset themselves a couple of times for the Battle of Brooklyn. So we'll see. I think Fairleigh Dickinson, LIU, and Bryant will probably be the three I feel the best about. And Mount St. Mary's probably has the best team after that. But all these other teams, you never know. Like, anything can happen on any night in the NEC.
We'll see whether or not Wagner uses the sweep of sweep at Brooklyn, at St. Francis Brooklyn, to springboard them up now, even, you know.
Yeah, right. it's an added element, the conference tournament only taking four teams. But even if it were taking eight, or even if it were taking all 10, these are still really intense games because they've always played the conference tournaments at campus sites. So, and that is a huge advantage, especially in this tournament. We've seen it time and time again, how much that makes a difference. So, I mean, just an unbelievable year. I just wish it was being played under normal circumstances, because the atmosphere at these games is, we say it every week, but the reason we keep saying it is because it's true. It's incredible. Like, in these little gyms, just the energy and the intensity at these games.
And you see that they are doing the back-to-back nights here in this conference. You see the schedule up there. The Bryant Sacred Heart series, I'm pretty certain that has already been put off because of COVID. I think the rest of the series are go, although Rock will probably tell me something else is canceled as well. But the real interesting series, if it happens, is Fairleigh Dickinson Wagner. This is the only one that's not at the same site. This is going to be a home and home, which you get against one opponent in the NEC, and that's going to be this weekend. If Wagner's making a run, they just swept Brooklyn, this might be their chance.
Yeah, Fairleigh Dickinson better prepare for that 349 tempo, because Wagner loves to play like snails. Yeah. That'll be interesting going, across the river to play each other each way. It should be a good week. And just on the schedule, it looks like you got that right. Sacred Heart's the team shut down. Bryant should be back in action a week from today against Merrimack.
Okay. And we actually see SFBK and Fairleigh Dickinson coming in Tuesday and Wednesday next week. That might be a makeup series. Why it's that some of these teams, they are trying to get as many of these games in, I believe, in the NEC here as they can.
Yes, and that is correct.
But this is going to be fun the rest of the way. So download the NEC Front Row app or go to necfrontrow.com. You can watch pretty much all these games there. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Great. It's just such fun. Oh, basketball.
It's a great app. Download the app.
And you see there's some teams here that when you look at Bryant, Fairleigh Dickinson, Long Island, and SFBK with their tempos, real fun basketball. And of course, the contrast of style you see with Wagner's and the Mount St. Mary's in this conference.
Yeah. And again, it's based in the Northeast and in a lot of the teams in New York and Massachusetts. It's just so much fun.
Only SFPA is the only real outlier at this point. Right, Robert Morris used to be in here, and they were kind of a pair out there in Western Pennsylvania. But let's go through the rest of the leagues, though, and we're going to start things off in alphabetical order over in the America East, which, it's just been Rocco, it's been pretty much heartbreaking that we just cannot see Vermont basketball almost ever this season. It's a shame.
Yeah, they've had multiple shutdowns, right, Chad? So it is a shame, and you would hope for the best that they don't have a third or fourth shutdown. I'm not sure if they've had two or three, but they definitely have had at least two, because they need to get some of these late games in February to have a chance to get rolling in March and actually be in position to win a game in the tournament, which I think we all agree they're the team that would have the best chance. But you can't overlook UMBC either. They've been a top 200 team themselves. They're up to, I think, 170 now in the palm ratings. Got a nice sweep over the weekend. So they got a couple good players, Brandon Horvath and RJ Idlerock, contributing and they're getting more consistent play in, 13-4 overall. Obviously a great coach. So I think those are the two best bets for the league.
And well, interesting conference tournament format they've gone to here. We may have mentioned this a couple weeks ago, but the top two seeds will in the American East will get buys into the semifinals. The third and the fourth seeds will host little mini four-team pods at their conference sites that will almost be seated correctly, but they might switch a team one seed spot for geographic purposes, even in those little mini pods. I don't even know if they've announced it yet, but there will be a neutral site for the semifinals and the finals, not a neutral site, but a predetermined site for the semifinals and the finals.
Okay.
There'll be three little bubbles is what you'll get out of it.
Yeah. The bracket is what the old Horizon League looked like when they did it correctly.
It's a standard ladder format bracket, but just with mini pods for each.
Right. I miss those days because, like, not only was it this format, but it was at campus sites all the way through, and it was fantastic. It was the best format. But yeah, Vermont, I can't help but think that, like, we have not seen them at their ceiling, and we may not.
Well, we haven't seen them at all.
Seen them at all, but, like, their three losses. Coming into the year, I think we all expected really big things out of Vermont or thought that they could do something if given the opportunity, but they just keep getting hit over and over and over again with COVID, can't get out on the floor. Not to take anything away from UMBC, but when I say expect things out of Vermont, I mean, you know, 12-13 line and the kind of team that could get out of the round of 64 if they got the right matchup. I think that's what we were expecting them to see when we came into the year, and we just haven't done that. And the biggest reason why has probably been COVID protocol.
Right now, allegedly they are hosting Stony Brook this weekend. Hopefully those games are on, and they should be good ones. Stony Brook has fallen apart a little bit lately, especially with the sweep of UMBC this week, but still a decent team by American East standards, I think.
Stony Brook hasn't played as well as they were earlier, but they're still competitive. I think it's a nice way for Vermont to come back, because I don't think they have to be sharp to win, and especially on their home court. But watch out for next week, because UMBC is on a bye, and then Vermont goes to UMBC next week. So they'll be waiting in the wings for games 3 and 4, as long as Vermont stays on schedule and get these games in this week.
If you really want to see some good basketball, check out the Binghamton Maine game on Sunday.
I feel like, so the American East is just announcing these 1 week at a time, and I feel like they paired them up on purpose just for us. So thank you, America East.
Over in the A-Sun, Liberty did not get any. They got a non-conference game in against Lancaster Bible College, which they blew up. They did not actually play any conference games this week, so they're still kind of sitting there at 6-2. North Alabama got swept in a pair of games against Gulf Coast, which means that Bellarmine could have second year in a row that a first year transitional team wins their conference regular season championship. It happened last year in the Northeast with Merrimack. There's Bellarmine, two games up in the win column, tied in the loss column with Liberty in the standings. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and if you followed them at the Division II level, even just a little bit, you knew that they were a national powerhouse, had been consistently ranked in the top 10, even number one a lot of the time, had won a national championship, albeit a while back. But this was a team that, at least with their pieces on the court, was suited to compete in a league like this, and they are. And it's been fun to watch. I'm not eligible for the NCAA, obviously, or the NIT. In a normal year, they would – without a doubt, I think, be going to the CIT. And I just hate that we're not going to see that this year, because, God, how much fun would that be, watching them play in that?
Yeah, Rocco, the upcoming schedule, we see Bellarmine at North Florida. That'll be a challenge for them. North Florida, second eligible teams right now.
Yeah, so there's actually a shuffle of the deck here. So Florida Gulf Coast is on pause. And so what they've done now is Liberty is in a big, big series. Liberty's going to host North Florida for two.
Oh, okay.
North Florida, just a game behind. Bellarmine's now going to go to North Alabama. So two of the transitional teams will be matched up. Stetson will continue to go to Kennesaw, and Lipscomb will go to Jacksonville. Okay. And those are your four matchups this week.
Okay, so switching two of those matchups. But it's still a big series for Bellarmine with North Alabama, and now a big series with Liberty, North Florida. Liberty series, they are pretty much in shape for maybe not capturing the regular season title because of Bellarmine, but being the And the, all nine of these teams will be in the conference tournament as well. But should one of the ineligible teams win the conference tournament, Liberty would be in position to get the automatic bid as the highest regular season finisher among eligible teams.
Right.
If they don't win it themselves. So
right.
Liberty and keep in mind, three ways to win the conference tournament that the auto bid that way.
Yeah, and keep in mind, Chad, Liberty and Bellarmine are still going to meet up for a series. So Liberty's not, they're not skating away here. That's going to be a really good series when they play.
It will be. And Bellarmine loves to play 94 feet, very much Mike, St. John Iggy, Mike Anderson yeah. type of play. I mean, they are a transition pressing team. And to see that go against Liberty, it's just going to be so much fun. That's what I'm really looking forward to.
And that's going to be the final weekend at Bellarmine, by the way.
Yeah.
Over in the Big Sky Conference, Rocco, out west where you are there, Eastern Washington with an impressive sweep. Oh, just of Idaho. Never mind. Well, but Eastern Washington is now in first place, although we have a four-way tie with two losses among four teams now.
Absolutely. So, yeah, for Eastern Washington, it was good to break a sweat against a team that performs like a non-D1, but they're still D1, so it counts for more. And Weber State, the big story, you know, getting the home sweep over previously unbeaten Montana State.
The fraud that David thought they were for real last week, but go ahead.
Okay, if we're just going to point out every little thing.
Weber State themselves, you know, had a pause at the beginning of January. We didn't know a lot about them. And since they've come out of that, they've won 6 of 7 with one of the losses at Southern Utah, another good team in this league. So Weber State's got the most momentum, I think, in the league. Playing at Weber, always a tough task for the majority of the league because they are at elevation. So that was just a little too much for the Bobcats to overcome. And now they've got to return the favor and go up to the great state of Montana and play the Grizz, which despite the Grizz being a middling team this year, that's a tough trip.
Yeah, looking forward to that series and the Eastern Washington Montana State series, if assuming that one is on as well this week.
Yeah. Eastern Washington, I know that they played Idaho, but I think that they were the team that we liked the most coming into the year. And they, to coin an old Stalica phrase, played with their food a lot. But I get the sense, and I know it was Idaho, but like in looking at the streak that they're on now, 7-2 in conference, that they're starting to play up to their ability. Yep. And
David, for the second week in a row, you got it wrong. This is Weber State's conference. I'm calling it right now.
It's Eastern Washington's. You're wrong, Chad.
We'll see.
I mean, sorry. I mean, you're allowed to be wrong. It's your show, but
I'm going to go to Rocco for the Big South Conference as well, where Winthrop did not get any games in. Radford struggled, barely pulled out the win over a bad upstate team Thursday, and then blew them out on Friday.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys saw the end, but they hit a game-winning shot.
Yeah.
and in the moment, the whole team went nuts, and it took about a 2-3 minute delay and review, and they finally ruled that the shot was not did not leave his hand in time, and the game switched hands, the win switched hands to Radford by two. It was a heave from almost half court.
It was crazy. Net.
It's all over Twitter. Go look for it because it was incredible.
So that sets the stage now, Chad and David.
This was supposed to be later in the season. They moved this up, did they not? The big series this weekend?
I believe they did move it up. There was a bunch of shuffling actually this week for the whole conference, but I think this one was announced a week before. So here we are.
Thursday and Friday, Winthrop at Radford, games of the season in the Big South this weekend.
And if somehow Radford can sweep, they're in first.
They are, and in Radford right on their heel. I just really like this Winthrop team. I mean, I know that they stumbled and kind of stubbed their toes a little bit, but I as close as Radford is to them, I think it's a case of them being better than the rest of the league more so than it is them being as good as Winthrop. It's just they've been able to keep pace with them. You know, they did almost lose to Upstate, but Winthrop having to sweat out a couple games as well. So maybe this is going to be a fun series, though.
Absolutely.
And Charleston Southern, what has happened?
I at this point, everybody else is just playing for seeding in the conference tournament. And it's not going to matter because I think these two teams will play a third time in the conference tournament final.
The
one seed will host the conference tournament there, so that'll be big for Radford. Can get the sweep, they got a chance to host.
All right.
Good to see. Sorry, I was just going to throw in there. It was good to see Hampton get back on the court. They were out for a while. I think Davion Warren is the best player in this league on Hampton, and so they're an interesting team to track going forward as they get their legs back.
David, Big West Conference, Irvine lost a home game to Bakersfield, which put the right team in first place, although actually technically they're tied in the loss column, and Irvine did sweep Santa Barbara. But this UCSB team, even though they didn't play this week, I think is the best team in this conference by far at this point.
I don't know about by far, but I agree that they are the best. Irvine a little bit, just the night before they blew them out. So, I mean, you kind of just figured, I don't know if they were sleepwalking or what, but it was a little bit of a disappointing performance. But I've liked the Gauchos all year long. I was just really impressed with the Eaters once conference play got underway, but they had struggled before that. But
well, because their first two games of the conference season were hosting Santa Barbara and sweeping them, so we were all impressed by them then.
And that's what they have is the two wins over Santa Barbara. But I think the Gauchos, despite that, are probably the better team.
Rocco, your thoughts on this Gauchos team who, I believe, has a trip out to the island this weekend, if it's on.
They do. And that will be tricky. Every trip to the island is tricky. I like the Gauchos team quite a bit. I think just the way that they've manhandled a lot of teams, they're currently on an 8-game winning streak still. They, as you mentioned, had last week off. But, just Ja'Cory McLaughlin's an Oregon State transfer. He's been there for 2 years now. He's a Pac-12 caliber player. He's the player of the year probably in the Big West right now. They also like their point guard is Deverell Ramsey. He's a kid, he doesn't do a lot scoring wise, so he doesn't get a ton of attention, but he's actually leading the nation right now in assist to turnover ratio. He started all 13 games, 15 assists to just 11 turnovers. It's like unheard of, over 5 assist to turnover ratio. He's the only player in the country that can say that. So they're just playing really efficient basketball, well coached by Joe Pasternak. Although their last time out, they went to overtime with UC Davis, so they're not untouchable. It'll be really interesting how it goes in Hawaii this week.
Yeah, and the other huge series this week, Irvine is at Riverside, battle of the second and third place teams there. We've been very impressed with what this Riverside team has done so far this season. And, if they can, especially if they could sweep Irvine, but even a split there, would be huge for them. And at home, I think they can.
I think Riverside wins at least one. That's my call.
Yeah, and you've been big on them all year, and it is one of the better stories in college basketball. But do they have the muscle to do this level of lifting? They did one of their bigger moments. They did almost beat USC.
I think what they'll do is they'll turn on the game film from how Bakersfield shut down Irvine, because they just mucked that game up and Irvine couldn't figure it out. Riverside plays a very similar style as Bakersfield. I think you turn on the tape and you mimic what they did, and they'll have a really good game plan for Irvine. But to do it two nights in a row is going to be really tough. So I think it will be a split.
All right. Jumping right on over to the Colonial. Rocco, let me stick with you here, because I don't think you were with us last week when Dave and I had a chance to discuss this James Madison team. Mm-hmm. Picked up another win in a rescheduled game against Elon that they snuck in there in the middle of the week this week. But we've been talking so much Northeastern. Did we just totally miss JMU, who came out of, who was like down there like 2-1 all season because they weren't playing, and suddenly here they are right up top?
Yeah, we didn't know what to think of them. At least I didn't. I thought, their first-year head coach, Mark Byington, came over from Georgia Southern. I like him as a coach. He did really well for a Georgia Southern team that really didn't do much before him. So he comes over, gets a better job at JMU. They build a whole new facility. They're actually probably going to host the CAA tournament now. And Matt Lewis, he inherited, who was the best returning player in the conference, and built in some incoming talent, but maybe not ready this year. But the combination has worked out well, and maybe they were able to get some of these regulars some workouts during COVID. That's a really hard thing to track, because some teams are able to get some good work in. Others, you just can't even practice. But what they're doing on the court is amazing. They came back in their first real – back-to-back was with Northeastern, and they split that. And since
both,
then,
both teams' only losses are head-to-head against each other. Yep.
Yeah. And then they've won four straight since, so they look great.
Yeah, and David, upcoming this week, we see allegedly James Madison was supposed to be at Wilmington tonight. That game went off. But I see James Madison hosting Hofstra this weekend. Wilmington, I think, has been shut down. That's the Northeastern at Towson, allegedly.
Yeah. The JMU Hofstra series is big. Hofstra, while they haven't always played up to the ceiling, one of the better teams in the conference and still capable, I think, of winning the conference tournament in a knockout format. They're not going to be my pick to win it, but I think they're definitely in the discussion. I know that I always bring this team up, maybe more than I should, but I still think College of Charleston has it in them to make some noise.
I don't see it with this, not this year with Charleston. I just don't see it, especially because unlike in what happened for several years in a row, Charleston is not hosting the conference tournament this year. As Rocco said, I think it was announced it's going to JMU this season.
It is going to go to JMU. And unfortunately, Charleston a couple weeks back lost Galloway for the year with an ACL. But, you know, besides that, David, I agree with your general point because I think Earl Grant's an underappreciated coach.
Very underappreciated.
Well, I'm a big fan of his. I just don't see it. Yeah. That's a lively fact.
You don't want to play him in the CAA tournament still, but you're right. Them winning the whole thing is going to be tough.
Let's jump over to Conference USA, where the story all season has been Western Kentucky. Of course, the story this week was not Western Kentucky because they haven't been on the court. The other story, though, I guess that has been UAB, who did pick up a pair of wins over UTEP, David. It is now 9-1 with, if you go by overall record, conference record only, which you really shouldn't in this conference,
right?
They're the best team, right?
If you go by that.
Let's pull some team sheets while you talk. Go ahead.
Yeah. Are they actually the best team? I don't know. And I'm assuming like UAB is one of the team sheets that you're going to pull. That's very good. One of the issues with UAB is you will notice is Rice, UTEP, Southern Miss, Middle. These are teams without winning D1 records. So while they're taking care of business in the games that they have, and that's really all you can do, almost a circumstantial disadvantage or unfortunate thing is that they just haven't. How many teams have they beaten with winning D1 records? It's not that many. And when you compare them to Western Kentucky, who has won at Alabama, at Marshall, beat Memphis, beat Rhodey, beat La Tech, I mean, the quality of wins just blows UAB's away.
Right. And when I look at this, I look at the fact that UAB is getting votes at both polls and Western Kentucky is not. They both have against tiers three and four, two losses, and they've won everything else, which is what you're supposed to do. That's because I consider both pretty much even there. But you look at the top two quadrants, UAB won in East Tennessee State, a decent win, but Western Kentucky, like you said, four pretty good wins, at least three, maybe not the Marshall home win as much. And the two losses, a respectful loss to West Virginia and a loss at Louisville, you can't say that's awful. I like this Western Kentucky team way better than UAB if you want to compare profiles.
Yeah, I like their profile better. I like their team better. Now, let me qualify that. What Andy Kennedy has done at UAB is impressive, and what they're doing.
It's impressive to schedule as well as it did also. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know that like UAB is having a much better year than what I thought they'd have, but I just don't think that they're to the level of Western Kentucky yet. The overall health of this program, I think, is pretty good, but are they as good? I just think their 16-2 record is a little bit of a mirage.
Well, Rocco, according to the schedule here, UAB will get a good test at Louisiana Tech if they go in Western Kentucky back in action against Rice.
It's a dang good test, I think. And honestly, it's UAB's two biggest games on their schedule. They don't play WKU. They don't play Marshall. They don't play a lot of the better teams. And this is their toughest test. I do think Louisiana Tech will win at least one of them. There's a decent chance Louisiana Tech will sweep this. They're a dangerous, dangerous team at home. They've only lost once at home all year, and they're an underappreciated team all around, I think. So is North Texas. And I thoroughly enjoyed that North Texas Louisiana Tech series.
Those are
two good teams. Two teams very capable of winning the curtain tournament as well.
Yeah.
As far as WKU and Rice goes, I'm pretty curious to see how it goes, because Rice is a team, for whatever reason, the last couple Fridays, they've been the first team to play. So, of course, I'm going to watch them. They're playing at noon my time on Friday afternoons. I'm all about it. But Rice plays really smart. Makes sense. The school that they're at is a really, really darn good school. They play like that on the court. They don't make very many mistakes. They have good bigs. Not like the most athletic team, but you see him play like Southern Miss last week and watch Southern Miss make a million unforced errors. Rice will eat that stuff up for lunch. If WKU doesn't play tight, Rice might find a way to nip them. So WKU's got to bring it after
a long streak. And while it hasn't happened that much, Rocco, we've seen this from WKU for the last 5 years, 6 years, maybe the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. They have a tendency to do what we called, or used to call, clusing.
I think they got that out of their way, I hope, with the Charlotte loss. It was a very, very bad loss.
You never know.
I hope they got that out of their system. But let's keep rolling along here over to the Horizon League, where Wright State picked up the sweep at what we thought was a decent UIC team earlier this season at Rocco. Not only did they sweep them, they absolutely demolished them.
Yeah, they're turning on the Jets lately. They've last three in a row by 20-plus. I think in each series they've had one blowout at least, and now they're not even messing around in the other game. So their numbers predictive wise are going through the roof. They're in the 50s now, I think, in KenPom and a lot of other. I think Eric Haslam's rankings has them in the top 30. Wow. So they're blowing the analytics out the window. And it's a lot of it's deserved. They have a veteran team. Loudon Love's still there. And, it'll be kind of a shame if they don't win the conference tournament, only if it's not Cleveland State either, because their story is tremendous as well.
Yeah, Cleveland State, great story. Cleveland State is winning games, David, but that's all you could say. They are coming up with the W, but not looking like a great team in doing so.
No, and Wright State does most of the time, but not always. Like, if you look at their three losses, at least in conference, they've all come against teams that they've also beat, and not just beaten, but blown out. Right. And it's just this real anomaly. Like, how is it that I don't know if they just get overconfident and blow out a team and then sleepwalk the next day, or if they just sleepwalk the first day, then get really mad and blow them out the second day. Wright State is capable. And when I don't mean Wright State is good enough to where they should be beating everyone. Like, they shouldn't even have the three losses that they've had they played up to their ability. And you got to wonder, like, if they get to the round of 64, how dangerous are they?
I think they are a very dangerous team, which is where we're going with this. And see, they've got Milwaukee for a pair this week, and Cleveland State's got Detroit for a pair, allegedly. Rocco probably canceled those games on me.
Yeah.
Well, Cleveland State Detroit is on ESPNU on Friday night. That's so cool. Like, because Detroit's won five in a row. This is the best year Detroit's had in a regular season that I can remember.
You got to watch Mike Davis's game.
Rocco, I have to correct you on one thing. In we do Detroit have Horizon Mercy. League Detroit fans. Mercy. Detroit Mercy.
I knew it right away.
I'll tell you what, Rocco.
But watch that game.
Rocco, just for that, I'm going to give you the next conference tonight. So instead of Davis. So there you go.
Okay.
The Ivy League.
Oh, the yours. Ivy League. Okay. Yeah. So Princeton Mercy is looking real good this year. Yeah. All right.
Detroit Mercy just can't make up its mind what it wants to call itself. A few years from now, they'll be Detroit again. And it's driving everyone in the Horizon League crazy. I love it.
Let's in all seriousness, though, jump over to the Metro COVID Conference. I mean, the Metro Atlantic Conference. This is another conference that, I mean, you sit there, you look at Iona. I don't know if they're good or not. They've only played four conference teams, and they're shut down again here. And Siena can't get on the court barely. So Rocco, I think you give the auto bid to Monmouth because they're the only team that's been playing. Is that the way we've
been playing? And
this?
The only team that looks like tournament caliber. Well, St. Peter's to a degree, but Monmouth actually plays like an exciting brand of basketball. They're fun to watch. As we've discussed before, there's a lot of tough, rough and tough offenses in this league that don't like to really run. Yeah. So, it's a little tough to watch some of the games, but Yeah, Iona is supposed to get back on Friday. Let's keep our fingers crossed it happens.
That's the rivalry game with Manhattan,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. Yeah. Manhattan.
And St. Peter's, while we're, you know, while I mentioned them, I think it's amazing what Casey Andefo's doing, their big man. He's just shattering records. He averages over 4 blocks a game, which he's the only player in the country doing that. So he's worth the price of admission. Fun story there at St. Peter's. We've talked about him a few times this year.
Yeah. One of the things I love about this league, just going off the cuff here, is how defensive focused it is, like just grind it out slow. And then you got Monmouth with the tempo of 5.
The only team that plays a half decent tempo is Quinnipiac down there.
Yeah.
But let's jump over to the Mid-American Conference, which we've been singing the praises of Toledo. And here comes Ball State. Not only beats them, David, but Ball State pounds them 81-67.
Yeah, Ball State just blew their doors off. And it was I don't know what to say about that. Like Ball State had shown no ability to do that at all. It wasn't one of those things like, you know, Toledo's the best team, but this is one of the teams they have to watch out for. This is one of the teams that could get them. There are teams in this league that you would describe that way, but I don't think Ball State was one of them, and they just dump trucked them. And what happened to the Rockets? I mean, I was talking about the Rockets, like, will this team crack the top 25? Will they get inside the bubble? They better be inside the bubble. And then you see a game like that, and you're like, did that just – this is still a good Toledo team. I don't want to overstate it, but from a profile standpoint, we have a selection committee guessing expert. How much was undone by that loss, Rocco?
I think it probably takes them completely off the map. Ball State's a sub-500 team, a plus-200 ranked team. And quite frankly, I hate to be harsh, but I'm surprised this didn't happen to Toledo sooner. They are super – and I've mentioned this before. They're a super three-point reliant team, and all it took is a bad shooting night, and anybody could beat them, like Ball State proved. They were 7-for-32 from three. They only took 35 twos and didn't make half of those either. So if they get cold, you know, they've been able to pull it off, and they get really good looks, and they're getting better at the system. But you have to figure over a 25-game season, this is probably going to happen to them a couple times a year. It has in past years, and it's killed them in past years, and it finally hit this weekend, this last weekend.
Right. And going back to that profile, the only team that really blew them off the court prior to Ball State was Michigan. They lost to Xavier, but were right in there. Lost to Baylor, I think, or excuse me, Bradley, in overtime or on a last second shot. It was way back around Thanksgiving. I can't really remember, but they were in virtually every game, and they had a smattering of good wins too. The win at Kent State, the win at Marshall. Yeah. I was just really, really, really high on the Rockets. But like you said, so reliant on 3-point shooting that when that started to go south, they just didn't have anything else in their toolbox.
Right. The other win to know this conference, I mean, there weren't that many games that got in here, but Akron, very nice win at Kent State. That was the battle of the second and third best team.
Wagon wheel.
And Akron now clearly taking possession, of being the second best team in the conference with that win.
Yeah, certainly. And Chad, I think that was a microcosm as well. Unfortunately for Kent State, they lost their second best player, Michael Nuga. He's out for the year now. And so Danny Pippen is obviously fantastic, but now it's Pippen on his own without the 1-2 punch. So it might take them a few games to get back on track and figure out how they're going to fill that void.
Well, the good news for Kent is they get Northern Illinois and Western Michigan, assuming those games are a go, to get back on track.
Northern Illinois is still shut down, but they might get it in on Saturday. I guess that's not completely off the board yet.
We've got Akron at Miami of Ohio and hosting Northern Illinois if it happens. And we've got Toledo hosting Bowling Green in Miami of Ohio. Also, assuming these games happen, and Rocco's probably going to cancel them all on me, but we'll...
No, we'll play those, please.
We're going over to the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference, where we had some news here. We've been crying almost about how awful it's been for Howard not being able to get on the court, and they have finally just decided to not get on the court at all. They have shut down for the season. So much for Maker, so much for the Howard Bison. They finished the season 1-4 overall. Went over the Hampton team that you spoke about earlier, Rocco, as being one of the better teams in the Big South, but that's their only win on the season. But we do have eight teams that are on the court. You see Delaware State in red because they are in because of an APR. They are ineligible for the MEAC tournament, but the other seven are. And we did see Morgan State have a pretty have a good week with the win over Delaware State, and FAMU in the South Division, a pair of wins to over North Carolina Central as well.
Real good week for FAMU. That NC Central team was coming back from a long shutdown. So, and FAMU's had their own shutdowns. But I think they're both legitimate contenders. FAMU played some teams tough in the non-league. In fact, beat Austin Peay.
They beat somebody. Yeah, they beat Austin Peay. Yeah, okay.
Beat Austin Peay. And Norfolk State had a nice little sweep to get revenge over Coppin, who had swept them a couple weekends before. Unfortunately, for this week ahead, we only have one.
I've got Coppin State that one on Monday. Do I have it wrong up there on the screen?
Oh, is that right?
They beat Norfolk pretty good. Norfolk didn't look all that good at it.
Yeah, okay. I thought that was a split, but you said sweep, so you shocked me.
I apologize. Maybe I didn't see the final score. I just had it in my head that Norfolk swept them. So credit to Coppin. They beat Norfolk 3 out of 4 this year.
Yes.
There's only one game this week in the league, which actually should be pretty good. Morgan State at Norfolk. Norfolk at Morgan.
Yeah, I like the way Morgan State's been playing. And it's unlike most of the rest of the conference, they've actually been able to play. I
really would like to see North Carolina A&T get on the court, but you know.
Yeah, me too. It's been seemingly forever.
And they have four pretty cheap wins. I think they're all against the bottom of the league.
I think they're all against South Carolina State, weren't they?
Yeah, that, or Delaware State too, okay. Maybe. I don't know.
They don't play cross division, so I think it was only SC State.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm just sick for Howard. It was shaping up to be a really special year. Under normal circumstances, it probably would have been. And Rocco's made this point before. They didn't just have a top 100 player. They had a lottery pick caliber player. And he goes down so they don't get to showcase it. And then it gets to the point to where it's just with COVID, they can't even end up playing the season. I was hoping that they could probably parlay to that and to get some momentum and exposure going for themselves and their school and the conference and everything else. And it's just so unfair is what comes to mind.
Note there, I pulled up A&T's profile. Actually, they swept FAMU at home and they swept South Carolina State. They did not play NC Central yet.
Well, at least FAMU is respectable. I'll give them that.
Yeah. So they got two wins. And again, they're not going to play the North Division teams until the conference tournament. So let's jump over to the Missouri Valley Conference where David could just ignore that team in first place because they're not under the radar. Drake, however, is back under the radar after they barely survived at Valpo in Saturday, and then they got their asses kicked on Sunday.
They
did bounce back tonight with a win over Northern Iowa, though. I'll give them that.
Yeah, a real, real bad week for Drake. And this was a team earlier I referred to UAB as a mirage. I did not think Drake was. I thought that they were legit. And what was so surprising about that loss to Valpo was that it followed a game that they barely won. And you're like, okay, tomorrow their heads will be right. This was a wake-up call. And it wasn't. Again, teams lose. It happens. Like, you don't have it every night. You have an off night. You go up against the team that just has a better night. But you don't often see like a situation like that to where I was just surprised that it was such a close game the first night and then it was a blowout the second night.
Well, Rocco, you are the selection committee guessing expert here. They've got this series at home against Loyola Chicago. Let's assume it's a split. Let's assume these two games are split. Is this Drake team, and let's assume Loyola Chicago that then wins the tiebreaker, wins the third game in the conference tournament final. Do you put Drake in with two losses to a top, two tier one losses and the loss at Valpo?
I probably would. Yeah.
Okay.
I probably would. I think that's a good enough year, especially in the 11th best conference, possibly the 10th best. They still could pass the Mountain West. They're right behind them. I think Drake right now is probably just a few spots above the cut line with this loss. And I you can't really punish them for splitting with Loyola Chicago if that's what happens, even though it is at home. Their metrics are so crazy that they might be able to, you know, get a lot of respect for that. So, I think, you know, what I'm hoping for Drake, because I do want to see them get to the tournament, is that there was just the pressure was mounting, the attention was mounting. A lot of the players at this program probably never expected to be on an 18-0 team, 19-0 team, whatever they got to. And, you know, they're getting on, they're getting ranked, they're on ESPN every night. It's a whole different experience. And they know they had a huge bullseye on their back. So now that's out of the way. Looks like they played with a lot more clear heads tonight, won by 21, got back to their old self. So I'm hoping that's what it was. I just think they had a big bullseye on their back, and they really struggled with Illinois State the week before and barely won one of those games. So
they really need, I mean, the other important games, even more than the Loyola Chicago games, you got to look at those five games and probably a quarterfinal game in the, in Arch Madness as well, that they've got to win those games. I mean, those are, I mean, at Northern Iowa, and especially at pair games at Bradley, that they're not, those are not exactly easy games, and you can't mess up with those.
Just real quick, 30 seconds here, Chad. There's a shout out to another team, and they're not necessarily a conference front runner or inside the bubble. Can we pull up Evansville?
Sure, David, the same way we do every week, but go ahead.
Yeah, I just, again, I'm really impressed with what Ted Licklider's doing.
I know, you tell us every week, but go ahead.
And, just really turning them around.
They've got a real impressive 8-10. But this team was so awful. You're right. This was awful last year. Did not win a single conference game.
And I just love remembering Kentucky
on the road.
I just love remembering that they beat Kentucky and then lost every single conference game after that. And Walter McCarty made one of the most spectacular exits ever. Anyway,
and they made Loyola Chicago sweat a little bit. Last week, so that was good. A really good step for them too.
Yeah, right. You've got the only games worth watching, I think, in the Missouri Valley this week are the pair games, Loyola at Drake. But I mean, Indiana Valley does have fun games, so there will be other good games here on the schedule. Yeah.
The Sycamores are on fire too. So
the trees. Yeah. How about the tree? Go ahead, Rocco.
I was just gonna say. I think they did lose once last week, but they've been playing really good ball. They got a kid, Tyreek Key, that can really play, and a fun team to watch. They're getting better every time out.
They're actually going to be at Evansville this weekend. So
there you go. Free advertising, Evansville and Indiana State.
We got a bunch more conferences to get to, and we're running pretty slow here. So let's keep moving as we jump over to the Ohio Valley Conference, where Belmont did keep up exactly what they've been doing. They blasted Eastern Illinois on the road. They blasted SIU Edwardsville on the road. You know what, Rocco? Morehead State kept pace. They took care of Murray State, and they won at Eastern Kentucky. They beat Austin Peay in a very close game that they almost lost, but they did win it.
I mean, this Morehead team, they're resilient. You know, I think, you know, what they've done in most of their games, especially on this hot streak, is it gets late in game, and they really turn up the heat, and they close strong. You know, they do really well in the final 5 minutes of games. And, you know, we've talked about Janai Brome, I think I got it right this time, hopefully, being one of the best freshmen in America, not just the OVC. I mean, this kid is dynamite. I try not to tweet about him or Wendell Green over at Eastern Kentucky, because I don't want one of the big schools to take him over the summer. So I'm really trying to, you know, if anybody's watching this, you earned it. But, I mean, it's really cool to see. I mean, this program is totally turned it around this year. I think they're playing just as well as Belmont. I can't wait to see them play each other on Saturday.
Well, we've got a great week for this week. We got the third place team, Eastern Kentucky, at Belmont coming up Thursday. Morehead State at Belmont coming up Saturday. I assume these games are a go. I think they are going to play again in the they call it the Valley of Death trip there to Eastern Kentucky and Morehead State at the end of the season.
I mean, a real exciting finish with Belmont playing both Eastern and Morehead twice between now and the end. Another Eastern Kentucky kind of having a rough week, but I agree with Rocco on Morehead State, because it's up to 11 straight now. And this was against a team that basically showed no signs of life at any point prior to this year. So what a turnaround that's happened there. And the way they play, like you said, they finished strong. And while they haven't played Belmont yet, they've played Eastern and Split. They've played Jack State, beat them twice. Played Austin Peay, beat them. Played Murray, beat them twice. I mean, it isn't just that it was a backloaded schedule. They've played a lot of the better teams in the league.
Yeah, so they lost to Edwardsville back in December. It's a whole different team now.
Yeah, it is.
No, that's back when Edwardsville was undefeated, but
yeah,
there you go. I think Edwardsville got shut down right after that game. But let's jump over to the conference that is the two games and only a pair of Loyola Lafayette games. Another COVID shutdown conference of the Patriot League. So we don't have much games to talk about, but I do want to mention a little bit of news here. We did find out about the conference tournament format with the divisions. They're only taking 8 teams in this conference tournament. It will be the top 2 finishers in each division based on your record among team in the division only, which I did double check it. It would be the same right now, the same first 2 place teams there. And then the next 2 best of the remaining 4 teams overall records within conference. So it's, we need another conference division record to really look at the Patriot League, but we don't.
This is like some of these soccer leagues that have split seasons. You need a PhD to figure all that out.
Very confusing, but I think that Rocco, a lot of these teams are back on the court this week, from what I have seen at least. Maybe we've got a few shutdowns, but I would like to see some Navy games get in and get some Colgate games in as well.
So the main series will be Colgate and Army at Army. So, you know, we'll see if Army can do anything to Colgate's net or not, but
13 net. Yep.
unfortunately Navy's going to be out for another week and a few other teams are as well. So, you know, we'll see how it goes, but I think Loyola Maryland and Lafayette are meeting up again, which is how many times is that now?
They're going to hit 6 games now, which was supposed to be, I think, the Holy Cross BU 6 games. Now they're getting the 6 games instead for this conference. This conference is rescheduling games like crazy. So ignore what you see on the screen there, other than we're pretty certain Colgate at Army is going to happen, which should be a fun series, actually.
Yeah, that'll be the spotlight series for sure.
Jumping over to the Southern Conference, we've got just one score that did not make the screen. Mercer has one more win. They won at Samford tonight after we started this show. But UNC Greensboro, Furman, we looked at it being the 2 games of the season. The first one was a blowout. Tonight was a little bit better, but they ended up being a split and we didn't really learn anything at all, Rocco, did we?
Well, you know, I was really impressed with the Paladins on Monday for obvious reasons. Greensboro never got it together then. And I watched the game today and it was like, man, when this Greensboro team cranks it up on defense, it is it's a juggernaut. And I think they have the best chance to advance in the NCAAs out of any SoCon team. But it just makes me wonder how they kind of lose it mentally, you know, in their losses. They've only lost 3 in the league and they were to 3 of the best teams though. So Furman, Wofford, East Tennessee State, that's a little bit different than teams like Furman and Wofford and East Tennessee State, who now are losing to teams in the bottom of the league.
We got to give a shout out to the Citadel, who is now only 4 wins. Beat East Tennessee State, beat Wofford a couple weeks ago. Those are 2 of the 4 wins there. Yeah.
It's amazing. Just a tremendous job they're doing at the Citadel. Right up there with VMI, you know, they're catching them too. So in Chattanooga, they look like they're getting their stuff
together. Nice win tonight at Wofford. Very nice. Yeah.
Yeah. They were up huge. They were up by 20 for some of the game. And they also just won at East Tennessee State. They won at WCU before that. So 3 straight wins all on the road. And now they get to go home for 3. They're only 6-5, but
I mean, against Citadel though, good. So you better watch out.
Well, you better.
Better, but the Citadel just unfortunately hasn't done anything away from from home.
A real quick thought. Every time I go all in and want to believe that Furman is finally as good as I thought they were going to be, they lose. And Samford getting rid of "Are you stepping at me?" and hiring a high school coach, not the best idea, I don't think.
Time will tell.
Yeah. They picked up a big win this season, though.
Georgia.
Well, yeah, they was.
Oh, no. Belmont.
Belmont.
Oh, yeah, they Belmont. Did win at Belmont. Yeah.
Yep. Let's jump over to the Southland Conference. We actually started a little bit later, so most of the games had gone final before we started. Abilene Christian and Nichols, you get one more win to both of them. They did both win after we started tonight. So we have a three-way tie for first, though. Abilene SFA, Sam Houston, Nichols just a game behind. Clearly a four-team race, and that's it. The only other question to be answered is who's going to be the teams that are knocked out, because only eight teams make the conference tournament. But that's doesn't really matter because it's a four-team race, and those should be your four semifinalists as well.
Yes. Yeah, I think, you know, there's a huge divide in this league from that quartet and the rest. I mean, anytime they play the rest of the league, it's really not that competitive. I don't think anybody's I think there was one game where ACU was at Corpus and they only won by five.
Corpus has given a couple teams tough battles, believe it or not.
They
can't win a game. That's amazing.
I don't believe it, but they have.
Nichols has the huge advantage of not playing any of the top three anymore, but they unfortunately lost to Sam Houston. If they had won that, they would be in cruise control watching the other three knock each other out. And now we're just kind of waiting around until February 24th until the next real big showdown.
Yeah. None of the top four are playing each other this week. So there's probably not much to really circle unless it's an upset in the Southland. But David, jumping right over to the SWAC, where Prairie View actually did not get on the court this week, but they're sitting there in 6-0. And, you know, I mean, I kept saying that Jackson State, I didn't really believe in them, but you know, they went and they won at Southern, who I thought was decent by SWAC standards. And, you know, maybe we should be paying more attention to Jack State.
Well, I mean, we should on the grounds that they're 6-0 undefeated in conference play and kind of keeping pace with Prairie View. I like what Grambling's doing. I was never the believer in Alabama A&M that you were. In fact, I
we weren't really. Nobody
four is. Games. When was the last time they won four D1 games? six
Alabama
total.
A&M, six D1 wins. But the story in this league, though, happened Monday night, and it was not the Jackson State win over Southern. It was Mississippi Valley State, who had been blown out, was being blown out by 30 to 40 points by other SWAC teams at like the bottom half of the SWAC, went to Alabama State and picked up the amazing road win.
In overtime.
Congrats to the Delta Devils.
Or was it overtime? We were watching.
No, it was regulation, I believe, but it was, it wasn't overtime. It might've been, whatever it was amazing. It was a win that absolutely shocked me. I did not think the Delta Devils would win a game this season.
I didn't either. And with that win, they move up to number 354 in the overall average rating. But does this kill their centenary chances?
Absolutely. It's a road win. It's a D1 road win. They're off the board for winning our centenary. Look what they did on Saturday. 93-58 loss to Alabama A&M. Yeah. That's what I expected.
This is coming from a person that wanted to give the centenary 1 year to a 6-win Pitt team.
I got a new award.
Well, you did get a new award created. Yeah.
And I think that Pitt team was that awful. But moving at you, real quick look at the week ahead. Rocco, if it's a go, Prairie View at Jackson State?
It's not a go. As of right now, they're not even on each other's schedule anymore. So hopefully they can make that up, because if they stay undefeated, obviously we'd love to see them play before the SWAC tourney. But Jackson State on Monday will get Texas Southern, and that will be, I think, their biggest test to date.
Okay. So that's where we are. Rocco just canceled the best game of the season in the SWAC. Right. And note of the conference tournament, they did announce that all three rounds of the conference tournament will be in Birmingham, as opposed to the first round being on campus sites, as it has been for the past few years. I think they're going to split the quarterfinals over 2 days because they'll have the women there as well. Summit League. This was where, you know, South Dakota, when they beat South Dakota State in the Battle of the Dakotas back in December, we thought it was just a fluke. Sure enough, they come out. They did it again Friday night before finally South Dakota State won one out of three against the Yotes coming up on Saturday. But I think, Rocco, the Yotes proved that they were for real to me this weekend by getting that split.
Yeah, they did. And the game they won, they shot like crap too, and they still were able to pull it out. I mean, they play a pretty effective defense, clearly. South Dakota State was in a major slump that first night. You saw how the score just skyrocketed in game two. They were in the low 60s in game one, then they got up into the 80s in game two. And that's what the Jackrabbits want to do. They want to speed you up. So Coyotes lost control that night, but they played three times and they got two out of three. I mean, the Coyotes to me have a little bit of a grip until they lose again. And the Summit tournament is going to be pretty interesting.
Yeah, it will be in Sioux Falls. Yeah, absolutely. And North Dakota State, the third best team, although they did split with Oral Roberts.
Right. Week. So we've had the four best teams in action against each other, both splits. So yeah, if the chalk holds, which in this conference, if you've been watching it for a while, you realize that it rarely does, which is kind of unfortunate because we've seen some really good teams miss the tournament because of that. But if right. the chalk holds, what a semifinal we are about to have. And I'm with you. I thought it was a fluke. Chad was a believer in the Yotes long before I was. I just thought South Dakota State had a bad night. But when they beat them for a second time, it's kind of hard to ignore that.
Yep. We've got an interesting South Dakota State at Oral Roberts this weekend, assuming those games are a go.
Yeah.
While the Yotes are at North Dakota. And David, one of your favorite rivalries, Denver at Western Illinois.
Yes, I'm very much looking forward to that one.
That might be Western Illinois' number one rival.
Yeah. South Dakota State, four losses on the year, two of them to the Yotes, and another one to, I want to say it was West Virginia, wasn't it? Like, pretty tough. Yeah, so when they're not playing South Dakota, they're pretty good.
Yeah, how about Western Illinois, by the way? They had an 18-game Summit League losing streak snapped 2 weeks ago, and now they've won three in a row after sweeping Omaha.
Yeah,
I think only eight teams make this conference tournament as well. Western Illinois has had quite a few years that they've been that ninth team out. It looks like they're in decent shape. It'll be between Denver and Omaha for that.
Take them all. Just take them all.
South Dakota State, Oral Roberts, by the way, should be really good basketball to watch.
Yeah, it will be.
And it's down at the bottom of the Wheat Belt, which favors Oral. So maybe we'll get a split.
In conference schizophrenia, aka the Sun Belt, I have completely given up on being able to say who we like. We were a week ago. We did our bracket rundown show. Rocco, you were talking about how Louisiana, who had it as a 16 seed, would be a first round winner. You like them so much. They get swept by Arkansas State.
Arkansas State's getting there.
Little Rock can't do anything. Now, I guess we're back on Texas State now because they sweep Little Rock. And now, they've got the best conference record, but they've lost to a non-D1 team. So I don't know what to make up for this league.
Well, Texas State, check out their breakdown. Four wins over Little Rock, 4-0, three losses to Louisiana. I mean, there's your kryptonite for you. So outside of that, Texas State's beaten the rest. Louisiana Monroe is the doormat of the league. This week, UT Arlington, who they've been on the fringes for a while, they'll get a crack at Texas State. These two schools don't like each other. Should be a pretty good two-game set. And one of them looks like Thursday night's going to be in Arlington and then back down in San Marcos on Saturday. So this should be pretty interesting. And then over on the other side of the league, South Alabama has been really turning it around. Quite a win the other night over Georgia State.
They get Troy, who beat up on Appalachian State when they got hot. So who knows now?
Yeah. And Scott, how about Georgia
Cross,
State? Who?
Good job.
Yeah, but Scott Cross is a fantastic coach, by the way. But Georgia State, who I really liked, is just pitiful all of a sudden.
Came back, so they'll give them a couple games.
This looks like it's actually rivalry week here. We got we've got the Troy South Alabama, Georgia Southern, Georgia State, the two Texas teams, the two Louisiana teams, the two Arkansas teams. So.
And this Arkansas State, they just swept Louisiana, and we can make fun of Louisiana. That's deserved. But Arkansas State getting a lot better. They're getting really good guard play. I watched those two games.
We jump over to the Western Athletic Conference, where I guess we first of all need to congratulate New Mexico State for finally getting their first D1 win. I didn't think I'd ever be saying that in the middle of February, but congratulations to a team that I thought would be, probably on the 12 line heading into the season for getting their first win in February. But that's the season we've got. I guess so. We talked about it on on Monday night, that the story was, you know, obviously what happened at UTRGV with Lou Hill was, you know, such a tragic story.
Yeah, it was.
Passing away. But on the court, Dixie State and Seattle swept. Tarleton got a couple non-D1 games. His conference still is having so much trouble getting games in. And we're sitting there with Grand Canyon in play at 6-0, still in the first place, David.
Yeah. And again, it's kind of hard to not be behind the Lopes right now. Yeah. Between four transitional and or otherwise uneligible and or otherwise shut down teams.
And I don't think the Lopes are playing this week, Rocco. And I don't know what's up. I haven't heard if UTRGV is going to play or not. So we may get New Mexico State, yeah, Seattle. That might be it.
Yeah, so UTRGV is going to wait until the 19th to come back. That's for obvious reasons, and we send our best to them. I actually thought they have a pretty decent team. They lost a tough one to Texas Southern on Saturday, but yeah, we'll see how they bounce back. Grand Canyon also waiting to play Cal Baptist a week out. So we really this week only have Utah Valley hosting Dixie State, the Battle of Utah in the WAC, and then we also have New Mexico State making the trip to Seattle. I think you might have said that, and that's it.
Yeah, so it's a light week in the WAC again, trying to get some games in here, trying to see if we can get all these teams up to 12 games before the conference tournament, I think is pretty much the goal here in the WAC, and then figure out the seeding from there. Real quick, David, Front Range time.
Yeah.
And congratulations to Colorado State with their sweep at Wyoming in the Border War.
Yeah,
is
jumping
now
into
in first place. Look at that.
Yeah. And again, an automatic bid on the line so long as it's Colorado or Colorado State inside the bubble.
Exactly. But now Colorado State is not quite done. It's not on the schedule for this week, but I believe they do have the pair of games with Air Force left. So
yeah. So we've got two more. That's going to be exciting stuff. We want this league back. Oh, the top 10.
Let's go to the top 10. Real quick, some honorable mentions. These are teams that did not quite make the top 10. We had Liberty not quite making the top 10. I think this is the first time they've been out all season. We have Furman, Navy, South Dakota State, Eastern Washington, Morehead State, and number 13 net, Colgate, getting an honorable mention. Congrats on that number 13 net.
Oh, my God. Oh,
jeez. They shouldn't be eligible because they're top 25 net, right?
I agree with the first half of that statement. They shouldn't be eligible.
Let's go at number 10. Abilene Christian coming in at number 10 there in the Southland Conference, back in the polls for the first time since early this season.
Yeah, good for them. Like to see that.
Coming in at number 9, we have Akron.
Ooh, Akron, that's pretty high.
Off of the wagon wheel win, getting to our top 10. At number 9, we have UAB with that very strong record and great, great wins against Tier 4 teams.
Yeah, blowing up Tier 4.
UC Santa Barbara coming in at number 7.
Yeah, UAB more Tier 4 wins than Kansas right now.
UAB is, I think, might be leading the nation in Tier 4 wins.
Tier 4 wins, yeah.
Great state at number 6 there.
I think we are. All right.
Number 5, we have Winthrop there, the Big South.
Yeah.
Wow.
At number 4, we have Toledo.
Still high.
Despite the loss, still way up there.
Yeah.
Belmont coming in at number 3.
Love this Belmont team.
Right above them, Western Kentucky.
Ooh. And
well, drum roll, it's a suspense.
Big congratulations.
Congratulations
to Drake.
Drake, after a week off, not even making the poll last week, back in first place for Drake.
Yeah.
I guess let's go to any final thoughts. Rocco?
Well, that was incredible. I think I had that exact same top 10. Maybe Toledo and Winthrop were flipped. But
maybe I only counted your list, though.
I was like, is this like my honorary night? Usually I have like 5 teams wrong.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good show, guys. I think I just want to give a shout out to some players that were nominated for the Lute Olson midseason watch list. It's a national recognized award. Usually only above the radar players make it to the finals. And I thought it was a pretty high number of players from under the radar that were on the watch list. So 7 total. And that would be Charles Bassey, dominant big man for WKU. Lauren Christian Jackson, outstanding guard for Akron. Tavian Kinsey, a guy I probably should talk about more from Marshall. He's just an outstanding player. Moose from Belmont. Terry Taylor, the all-everything player from Austin Peay. Roman Penn, who we get to see play quite a bit now at Drake, and Cameron Crutwig, who is temporarily over the radar, but he is in the Missouri Valley Conference from Loyola Chicago. So shout out to those guys. And let's hope they, one of them gets to the finals.
Absolutely. David, want to finish us off?
Yes. Not on the happiest of notes either. Something, and this is not breaking news. It happened a while ago, but I don't think it's been mentioned on the show or on the site. The Division III winter championships, which of course includes men's and women's basketball, have been canceled by the NCAA. The stated reason was because of low participation. That was certainly one a part of it, but I think the other one is just the concerns of, with the resources that those schools have, how do you put together a 64 team event when teams at the D1 level back in November were having trouble putting together 4 and 8 team MTEs? And it is a little bit, I think there is a plan in place to get the Division I tournament in. I would, not to sound like a broken record, but two things I'll mention every week is I'd like to give a shout out to Evansville, and I wish they were postponing the, or not postponing, but yeah, moving the NCAA tournament back to help ensure that it can be played without interruption. But I'm starting to get a little nervous, guys. I
don't think the move back is going to happen. In fact, today they announced
it won't. They announced absolutely
the game,
will
the game
not.
Times and the TV networks.
Yeah.
They're doubling down on it. Yeah.
Yeah. And it absolutely will not. I'm just hoping they're able to play it.
And I guess the next question would be is, you know, if a team is shut down but might be able to come back Tuesday or Wednesday, would they adjust the schedule? Would they push games back? Would they, you know, would they be playing first round games and third round games at the same time? Who knows? Which I'd rather see that than them actually, you know,
I would too. Yeah.
Forfeits in place or something like that, which would be awful. But I guess on that note, I do want to thank everybody for joining us. Let's get the view back up here. And David, you wanted the bottom? You got the bottom.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Wait a minute. I liked it better up there.
On behalf of David Griggs, Rocco Miller, you can check him out at bracketeer.org. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We will talk to you. We'll be back tomorrow night with a Bracket Rundown show, and next week with a whole nother slate of podcasts. Have a good night, everyone.